Hi, everyone. I have too many slides, and so I will only talk about the ones that have a salmon heading, and you're welcome to look at the rest of them. We do have copies in the back. Oh, is it because there's stuff on there? Yeah. Let me see if it. Can I do? Can I just use the keyboard? Yeah. Sorry, the mouse doesn't want to cooperate. So these are two reports of the committee, IOM Committee on Public Health Strategies to Improve Health. And I will briefly talk about each of them. Just briefly, actually, about the IOM committee process. We have had a wonderful committee of experts who are volunteers who were convened at the request of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation to do a series of three reports. And we actually are fortunate to have Dr. Martha Gold, who is our committee chair, and she's sitting over there in front stage right, or stage left. And we are almost finished with our process. We are on to our third study at this point, looking at funding for public health. So these are the three tasks that were given to the committee, and I won't talk in any detail about any of them. And the context of the committee's study is, of course, the Affordable Care Act and the situation that we're looking at now of extremely high investment in health, but very poor value realized on that investment. And the committee concluded that health care reform through the Affordable Care Act is part of the solution, but it's really not sufficient, and what is needed at this point is to change the conditions for health, and that can only be done through approaches that are population-based. And to change the conditions for health, we need data and indicators to inform, mobilize, and to hold accountable. And this was a very simple logic model that the committee had in its first report on measurement. And the shading signifies the fact that as you move to the right, we have more and more data available and more metrics. But on the left side of that, we have fewer metrics. So when you're talking about information needed for priority setting and so on, if you look at the national level and at the local level, data that's provided by the National Center for Health Statistics, for example, data that states get through BRFSS and so on, we don't have enough. There are a lot of gaps in what's available. And so that was one of the committee's foci in the measurement report. Another important ingredient for changing the conditions for health is the contributions of many sectors and stakeholders, and this includes health in all policies approaches. This is an image that some of you who may have seen the IOM's 2003 report on the future of the public's health may recall, and you'll be, Kayla may be pleased to see that employers and business are part of that picture, with the governmental public health infrastructure at the center. And the committee decided that they wanted to seize the language that we use to describe health in this country and to talk about a health system not in reference to the healthcare system, which is really an illness care system, but rather in reference to the integrated whole, or what should be an integrated whole of public health, healthcare, and everyone else who contributes to health in this country. And the final ingredient to changing the conditions for health is adequate, stable, and sustainable funding for population-based efforts, especially those of the governmental public health agencies. And this, again, will be the focus of our third report, which is expected to come out in early 2012. And I'll talk a little bit about the determinants of health, which was one of the major themes that runs across the first two reports and the committee's third report. And I'm sure you're all very familiar with the importance of this in public health. And the committee concluded that there's a biomedical orientation at the heart of the Affordable Care Act, but the act, as Kayla also noted, does look at health in a fuller way, and not only at health care. So the committee asserted that we need to have a comprehensive report on the determinants of health to help focus the public's attention on these key factors. Many European countries have such a report, and the U.S. doesn't have anything of the sort. Virginia Commonwealth University has a center on human needs that puts out something, a report of that kind, and there's another center that's mentioned in our report. I'm completely blanking on the name, sorry, but that has it's called Measure of America, and it also describes social conditions and other determinants of health, but we don't have anything like that that is really nationally produced at the federal level. So that's a recommendation that was made by the committee. Another theme that the committee discusses in its two reports, and I imagine will also be a big part of its third report, is public health and clinical care and the interface between the two. And the committee made recommendations, two recommendations about this in its measurement report. And one recommendation's rationale was that despite increased attention to quality and appropriateness of care, overuse, underuse, and misuse of selected interventions persists. There's a great need for enhanced public understanding of evidence-based medicine and clinical care delivery system performance. And the committee asserted that public health departments can play a really important role in supporting improvement of the clinical care delivery system in this area and helping to communicate this to the public and help the public understand that if their local hospital, for example, has a 40% rate of C-sections, that's not a good thing. And to explain from a population health standpoint why that's not good. And this is the committee's recommendation that state and local public health agencies in each state should collaborate with clinical care delivery systems to assure that the public has greater awareness of the appropriateness, quality, safety, and efficiency of clinical care services delivered in their state and community. Local performance reports about overuse, underuse, and misuse should be made available for selected interventions, including preventive and diagnostic tests, procedures, and treatments. And another theme that cuts across the report is the theme of accountability. In the report on measurement, the committee talked about a measurement framework for accountability, and their starting point was looking at the various partners who contribute to health in a community, and they found that in the case of the health department and the other government players, they are accountable to government executives, they're accountable to legislatures, but in the case of others, like community organizations and so on, who are they accountable to? So the committee had a lot of discussion about compact versus contract accountability, and so they made a recommendation that dealt with measurement of performance and accountability that applies across sectors. In the law report, the accountability theme was taken up again, and there's a recommendation that I will talk about in just a minute about accreditation. And those of you who've been in public health for some time are probably aware that accreditation has been a big subject for quite some time. So the law report offers 10 recommendations and one conclusion. The report focuses on three sets of laws: infrastructural, interventional, and intersectoral. And I'll talk a little bit about the third category because that's probably the most interesting. That's the category that is also described as health and all policies approaches. So the accreditation discussion, I'll just skip over that slide and go straight to the recommendation. The committee recommended that states should revise their laws to require public health accreditation for state and local public health departments through the Public Health Accreditation Board accreditation process. As many of you know, the Public Health Accreditation Board completed their beta testing last year, and I believe that accreditation has just rolled out in the last couple of months. So it's a brand new process that is voluntary at this point, and the committee felt very strongly that this is something important that the entire country needs to participate in, and the committee found that there are states that do not permit their health departments to participate in this because they're required to participate in some type of accreditation or performance measurement that is state-based, and the committee believed that it was important to have something uniform across the country that all health departments can be involved in. And I'll skip over the next couple. Uses of health and all policies approaches that I just mentioned. Again, this refers to policies or laws that are enacted in other sectors of government. And the committee found that you could have three different scenarios where you're talking about health and all policy approaches. First, these may embody the precautionary principle. First, do no harm to health. So if you're going to build a road, if you're going to subsidize a certain part of the industry, if you're going to take any other step, either at the community level or at the national level, at a legislatively, it's important that you look first at what the health consequences of those actions might be. Secondly, health and all policies approaches could be designed and implemented to maximize their positive effects on health. So not simply do no harm, but go a step beyond that. And finally, the committee found that you can use health and all policies approaches as a proactive and targeted way to address the most distal factors associated with poor population health outcomes, the socioeconomic fundamentals of jobs, schooling, financial stability, and self-sufficiency. I'm sure with all of the obesity information that's been out there in the last several years, you've seen quite a bit of discussion about the Farm Bill and the subsidies that the U.S. government provides for agriculture and for corn. That is a really good example of legislation that has been in place for many, many years that has had terrible health effects, because we are finding that this heavy propensity of industry to use corn sweeteners in pretty much everything is really helping to contribute to our obesity problem in this country. So this is one of those areas where the committee thought, wouldn't it be a great idea if Congress, before they renewed any large piece of legislation like the Farm Bill or the Transportation Bill, looked at it and said, what are the consequences for health of this bill? And that could be done using health impact assessments, modeling, all sorts of things, and the report gets a little bit into the types of activities that could be undertaken there. So the recommendation here is that state and federal governments and local jurisdictions, in cases where they can do that, like LA, New York, Chicago, et cetera, they should develop and employ a health and all policies approach to consider the health effects, positive and negative, of major legislation, regulations, and other policies that could potentially have a meaningful impact on the public's health. And thank you. There are different models of intersectoral collaboration that the committee reviewed. And one that they found really helpful was the model that is actually offered by the Affordable Care Act, and that is the National Prevention and Health Promotion and Public Health Council. The committee liked it because it involves multiple government agencies and departments, it can support health and all policies approaches, and it also provides a mechanism for external stakeholder engagement and input. And so the committee thought that this could be used as a mechanism for supporting accountability and even performance measurement at the local level, and involving many stakeholders in that. So the recommendation 8 in the law report states that governments should create councils of relevant government agencies convened under the auspices of the chief executive. These should engage multiple stakeholders in a planning process and should develop an ongoing cross-sector community health improvement plan informed by a health and all policies approach. And stakeholders will advise in development and monitoring of planning. I think I'm near the end. So the learning objectives of my presentation were to familiarize the audience with the committee's perspectives on the centrality of the determinants of health to the committee's thinking, accountability at all levels of the health system, and I talked about that a little bit, and finally the utility of health and all policies for maximizing the health of the population. And finally, contact information and links for where you could get the report. And we have just a handful of copies of the report. If any of you were really interested, you could approach us at the end. And there are briefs of the report at the back and copies of the slideshow. Thank you.